Superstar Country 102.5 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 81. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, 55. High of 80 tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Overcast Saturday, decreasing clouds by Sunday. Mid-80s Saturday, upper 80s by Sunday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm Staff Meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently 54.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
I'm Britton Rucker, and here are today's top headlines from 12 News. Reno County Commissioners approve emergency funding to keep the WIC program operating during the government shutdown. It comes as federal funding for the program is expected to run out tomorrow. A Lawrence intersection was evacuated yesterday as a bomb squad responded to a report of a grenade found in a home. A man called 911 after he discovered it behind drywall while he remodeled. The bomb squad took the grenade for proper disposal. And President Trump sets his sights on the disappearance of Kansas native Amelia Earhart. Yesterday was the deadline for FBI agents to comply with an order to hand over records about the investigation. The U.S. government suspects that she crashed in the ocean when her plane ran out of fuel. In Wichita, Britton Rucker, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
Hi, I'm Barbara, and I work for Social Services. On our lobby wall, there's a picture of this kid I used to work with. She's all of 17 years old, and she's on one of those missing posters. Unfortunately, that happens to a lot of our kids who don't have somebody to step up for them. They stay in foster care for years, they aren't adopted, and they age out. They either wind up in jail or they live on the streets.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption works.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News, brought to you by Firebolt Ag LLC, serving all of your chemical and fertilizer needs. The Kansas State Child Death Review Board, or SCDRB, under the Office of the Kansas Attorney General, has released its 2025 annual report analyzing the deaths of Kansas children. Key findings from the 2025 report include that in 2023, 361 Kansas children died before their 18th birthday, and over half were infants. Despite a slight decline in the child death rate in 2023, Kansas continues to experience child mortality rates above the national average. More infants died from sleep-related sudden unexpected infant death than from any other non-natural cause across all age groups. Homicides resulting from child abuse or neglect have increased sharply, with 12 confirmed child abuse cases in 2023, which is three times higher than the four recorded in 2022. Suicide remains a leading cause of death for youth aged 10 to 17 at rates above the national average, and a significant portion, 37% of children who died between 2019 and 2023 had prior involvement with the Department for Children and Families Child Protective Services. The report also calls attention to the growing threat posed to Kansas children by illegal drugs, including fentanyl and marijuana products. Toxicology findings related to the 180 child deaths from motor vehicle crashes between 2019 and 2023 further highlight the role of substance use, which has contributed to Kansas child death rates from motor vehicle crashes exceeding the United States rates. The State Child Death Review Board is a multidisciplinary, multi-agency volunteer board established by law within the Attorney General's office to examine trends and patterns that identify risk factors in the deaths of children from birth through 17 years of age. The full report can be found on the Kansas Attorney General's website, ag.ks.gov. The Kansas Department of Agriculture's Division of Conservation, or KDA, DOC, has announced the availability of funds in the form of cost-share assistance and incentive payments to assist commercial feedlots and dairy operations with livestock water efficiency technology. The Kansas Livestock Water Efficiency Project is part of the state's ongoing effort to encourage water conservation and to seek solutions for water challenges in the state. This initiative is designed to enhance and or upgrade current large-scale livestock watering systems in commercial feedlots and dairies by providing cost-share assistance for practices such as upgrading to high-efficiency livestock waters, water controls, and water recycling systems. The KDA DOC will accept applications starting Wednesday, October 15th, to the close of business on Friday, November 14th, 2025, and equipment purchases and subscriptions made before the application approval by the KDA DOC are not eligible for this initiative. Eligible applicants must hold a current livestock water right within the state of Kansas. Funding is provided through appropriation from the State Water Plan Fund, and the program is administered by the KDA DOC in consultation with the State Conservation Commission. Applications for this livestock water efficiency cost-sharing funding must be made through the KDA DOC, and to find more information about the project, including the application and more details about the funding eligibility, you can visit agriculture.ks.gov/DOC livestock water. Each October since the 1930s, the American agriculture industry has shown appreciation for member-owned, member-controlled businesses during National Co-op Month. And the 2025 theme, Cooperatives Build a Better World, highlights how agricultural cooperatives continue to evolve to meet the needs of their farmer member owners. Just as Kansas farmers adopt new technologies and management practices, agricultural cooperatives invest in infrastructure, leadership programs, and services to help their members succeed. The Kansas Cooperative Council represents cooperatives across all sectors, including agriculture, finance, utilities, housing, and more. And the organization provides education, advocacy, and public outreach to promote the cooperative business model, strengthening the network of member-owned organizations throughout Kansas. Cooperatives play a vital role in Kansas communities, employing more than 5,000 people across 575 locations statewide and serving more than 100,000 members. And Kansas is also home to three of the nation's top 100 agricultural cooperatives, showing the state's deep roots in collaboration and shared success. To learn more about the Kansas Cooperative Council and its members during National Co-op Month, you can visit kansasco-op.coop, and you can also follow the organization on Facebook. In Nebraska news, the Adams County Sheriff's Department is investigating a critical incident after a 15-month-old child was found in a ditch near the 2000 block of South Marion Road on October 4th. Deputies were dispatched at approximately 8:01 a.m. after a passerby reported the discovery, and Hastings Fire and Rescue assessed the child, who was then taken to Mary Lanning Hospital for further evaluation. A criminal investigation is underway to determine the facts and identify those responsible, and the Nebraska State Patrol, Hastings Police Department, and the Department of Health and Human Services are assisting in the investigation. Authorities urge anyone with information or who noticed suspicious activity in the area that morning to contact the Adams County Sheriff's Office at 402-461-7181. The child's safety is a top priority, and no further identifying information will be released. Schools in Columbus were in a temporary lockdown on Wednesday after police reported that they were searching for a man who was reported to have a knife. Just after 11 a.m., officers with the Columbus Police Department were sent to the area of 25th Avenue and 16th Street, and according to police, it was reported that a man armed with a knife was making threats. In turn, Police Chief Brett Strucksand said when the subject fled the scene, they immediately initiated a search of the surrounding area. And out of an abundance of caution, they also requested that schools in the vicinity to go into lockdown to ensure the safety of students and staff. Police said the suspect was quickly found and arrested without further incident, and the suspect was lodged in the Platte County Detention Center. Lockdowns were then lifted once it was determined there was no active threat, and there were no injuries reported. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Firebolt Ag is a full-service fertilizer and chemical retailer. They customize products for individual farmers' needs, with the primary focus being customer profitability. Let Josh and Jack help you get the most out of your farm ground. They also provide in-house marketing with Ron Wall of Flatwater Solutions. Visit Ron in Phillipsburg or call Josh at 785-854-8484 or Jack at 308-840-2819. Firebolt Ag, your leader in agriculture.
Now we'll hear from Fig Millen and head cross-country coach George Rossi to update on the team and their meet today in Phillipsburg.
I'm here with head cross-country coach George Rossi. Coach, a couple meets for you last week and this week, actually. But let's start off with the Norton Invitational. Always a good turnout at that for spectators and fans, but also some great running out there.
Yeah, I think our meet probably was the most attended meet that we've been to this year, and I think it was the biggest crowd we've had for our meet, our regular season meet. It was a beautiful day, you know, 81 degrees. The weather was nice, and I think it helps our kids a lot when we have a lot of hometown fans show up. And, you know, the volleyball team was there and the football team was there, and those guys were going crazy. And that gives us motivation. So it was a lot of fun. And the girls ran really well. The girls ended up in first place. Emma Collins was in third. She ran a sub-20 time. She was at 19:50, one of her best times of the year. Casey Miller was eighth. Cassidy McLean was 14th. Savannah Rumback was 17th. Danica Frick was 20th, Lorelei Granberry was 26th, and Clara Wessel was 30th. So our girls came out and did a good job. Our JV girls ran well as well. And, you know, we were happy that we had a big crowd and the kids just responded. And, you know, we have to use our meet as a springboard for these upcoming meets down the road.
And, of course, in the girls' competition, the top two were the Boystons out of Ellison, and they're fun to watch.
Yeah, they're great runners. You know, and Emma's a top, one of the top 3A runners in the state. And, you know, our league meet tomorrow, we'll talk about in a sec, is going to be just loaded with some of the best runners in the state of Kansas. And so, you know, it's good for our kids. It's good for Emma to have that competition. You know, the boys and girls are very good. And Emma's closing the gap on them. And Emma's an excellent runner in herself. And I think that gives the rest of our girls some motivation, too. We want to keep our 1-5 split, you know, tight. And so it brings our 3, 4, 5 girls up as well.
In the boys' side, a second place finish, but you got to be proud of that. It's a lot of good placing individually, and of course, teams that you face like a Quinter and Hayes and Hoxie and so forth. And so you got to be proud of the boys' second place.
Yeah, I thought our boys did a good job. You know, Quinter's defending state champion, and they have an excellent team. And our guys were mixing it up with them for quite a while, but I think the highlight of the day was Aston Katz, who won his first meet as an individual. Just ran a fantastic race, ran a 16:58, and ended up being in first place over really good kids, kids that were seated higher than him and have ran faster than him. But you know, he's got his formula down now pretty well, and he's sticking to it, and it's paying off for him. We had all of our kids, I thought, ran really well. Derek Clydesdale was 12th. Elvis Green was 20th. Kaysen Bailey was right behind him at 21st. Max Carter was 26th. Jace Bailey was 36th. And Brogan McLean was 37th. And on the boys' side, we had Michael Urban was 4th. Noah Lanier, 12th. Asher Erickson, 17th. And Andre Mueller was 24th. So they all ran good. You know, we had good performances. And like I said before, the crowd really helped us out.
I'm not sure if this was the meet. Was the school record broken, the boys?
No, it was close. And we had to do some research, and kind of a good thing, maybe Aston we thought was close to it at the Oberlin meet, but we found a time in a scrapbook that the time was that we had posted as a school record was actually incorrect. So Zach Boehner gets to hold on to that title for a little while longer. But you know, Aston's he's gunning for it.
As you mentioned, the Oberlin tournament or meet, that is on a Tuesday, and it's a smaller meet, but the girls finished first and the boys also first. So what did you think about your performance at Oberlin?
Yeah, I think it's been 5 years since both our teams have won first place, and I don't know for sure. I've looked, and I can't really recall a year that we've had an individual boys champion and an individual girls champion. So, you know, it was a great day for us. And it's a hard, Oberlin's a hard meet for us because it's a short turnaround. You know, we basically don't have any practice in between, just a short run on the day before. But, you know, our girls came out and got first place. Emma Collins ran a fantastic time. She ended up in first place with a 19:34. Kaysen Miller was 5th. Cassidy McLean was 7th. She had a season best. Savannah Rumback was 15th. Lorelei Granberry finished in 16th. She had a season best, and Lorelei had a great race. She looked really strong. Danica Frick was 18th and Clara Russell was 25th. And on the JV side, Bailey Thompson was 4th and Gabby Rios was 5th. So, our girls did a great job. Again, competition is, it's a smaller meet, but there's still really good girls in that race. So, Emma went out and jumped on the lead early and held on to it. And really, she won by quite a bit. And, she's a kid that she's competitive, and she's competitive with others. She's competitive with herself. So she's not going to let up. She wants to run a good time, and I was really happy with that.
And then this week you have the MCL, and talk about I'm sorry. Yeah, we forgot to talk about the boys at Overland, but we'll jump right into that.
Yeah, the boys end up winning, and Aston Katz, he ran a 16:39, and we thought he was real close to the record, which was 16:35, I think it was. But when we did some checking and some scrapbooks and things like that, we found that Zach Boehner actually had ran a 16:16 at Oberlin, I think in 2007. So we'll get that record fixed. Derek Clydesdale was 8th. Elvis Green was right behind him, and 9th, had a great race. Kaysen Bailey was 11th. Max Carter was 12th with the season best. Jace Bailey was 13th with the season best, and Brogan McLean was 18th. And then the JV side, we had a lot of good times with the JV kids. Michael Urban was 2nd. Tristan Talent was 5th. Noah Lanier, 7th. Asher Erickson, 10th. And Andre Mueller was 11th. So, we're happy that the boys came out and was able to get a first place the same night as the girls. So the boys were very happy. And having two double champions individual hasn't been that way for a long time. So it was something good to celebrate.
Now we can talk about the Mid-Continent League, and you mentioned earlier in the show here that some of the competition and some of the great female runners that will be at the MCL, that's held at Phillipsburg, a starting time at 4:30 for you on Thursday. But why don't you talk about some of those tough contenders at MCL?
Yeah, in the MCL we have 1A, 2A, and 3A teams. Well, In the 1A, you have the number one girl in 1A with Madison Howland, who's just a phenomenal runner. She's one of the best runners all class in the state, as are the Boydston girls from Ellis. They're 1 and 2 in 2A, and then Emma is number 2 in 3A. The Tegan from Toxie, she's in the top 10. I think I counted the other day that 6 of the top, and Kaysen Miller is one of the top runners in 3A. Out of the top 7 or 8 runners in the MCL, all those girls are ranked in the top 10 in their respective classes. So, that girls' race is going to be fast. It's going to be amazing. Just come out and it's going to be great competition to watch some of the best kids anywhere. And hopefully, team-wise, it's very important for us. We want to defend our MCL, and it's going to be hard. Hoxie's been knocking on the door, and if we got to make sure that we know where those girls are at and put the hammer down tomorrow night.
On the boys' side, you'll probably have a full squad. I don't know how many full squads there are, but Norton's been in the top 3 the last few years.
Yeah, I think the boys will have 7 or 8 full teams. Again, scoring 4, it allows more teams, some of the smaller schools. But, Hoxie's been the defending league champion for the last several years. And we did beat the Hoxie boys last week. They're back to their full numbers of runners. One of their good runners has been injured, but he's coming back, and he's going to be, I know he'll be a lot better, in better condition tomorrow. But our boys are going to have their hands full as well. And it's our goal to bring back the plaque for both the boys and the girls. And I think the kids are focused. We hope we get some support over there. We always have good parents, but if some of the kids can get over can make it, and some other fans, would be a great help to us.
Well, Coach, we're going to wish you the best of luck Thursday when you travel to Phillipsburg for the Mid-Continent League cross-country meet, starting at 4:30, and a rolling schedule right on through. Reporting for KQ&K, I'm Fig Nolan.
Thank you, Fig and Coach Rossi, and good luck to the cross-country team at their meet today in Phillipsburg. Your menu today for Eisenhower Elementary School. For lunch, you'll be having macaroni and cheese, Little Smokies, cooked carrots, rosy applesauce, pepper strips, and French bread. For Norton Community High School and Junior High, your lunch today will be chicken nuggets or chef's salad, cook's choice of fries, fruit and milk. And for Northern Valley Schools, your lunch today will be Texas straw hats, salad, vegetable, and fruit. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Firebolt Ag, LLC, farmers helping farmers to succeed. You can contact Firebolt Ag today to get the most out of your farmland. Your KQNK weather forecast is being brought to you by Hinkle Termite and Pest Control, your Norton experts for all of your pest control needs. Your forecast for today, it should be mostly sunny with a high near 81 and a south wind around 10 miles per hour. For tonight, it should be mostly clear with a low around 55 and a southwest wind around 5 miles per hour becoming north after midnight. On Friday, it should be mostly sunny with a high near 80 and a north wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming east in the afternoon. And on Friday night, there's a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 60. I'll be back with the rest of your forecast in just a moment.
When you've got bugs, we know what a nuisance that can be.
Lock 'em out. From Hinkle Termite and Pest Control, Lock 'em Out is our very effective residential insect prevention program. We'll come to your place and treat your foundation plus all insect entryways. And while we're there, receive a free termite inspection. Call Mr. Rich Wenzel, our certified technician in Norton, at 785-202-0167. That's 202-0167.
Continuing with your weather forecast, on Saturday, it should be partly sunny with a high near 85. On Sunday, sunny with a high near 87. On Monday, Columbus Day, it should be mostly sunny with a high near 69. On Tuesday, there's going to be a 30% chance of showers, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 69. And on Wednesday, it should be mostly sunny with a high near 75. Currently, with overcast skies, it is 54 degrees. The humidity is 94%. The wind speed is southeast at 9 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 30.18. The dew point is 52 degrees. And the current wind chill is 51 degrees. Your weather was brought to you by Hinkle Termite and Pest Control right here in Norton. You can call Hinkle Termite and Pest Control at 785-202-0167 for all of your pest control needs. It is 8:25, and it's time for Kansas Sports. That's being brought to you by United Northwest Federal Credit Union, where everything they do for you.
Save more, earn more with the Easy Saver account at the United Northwest Federal Credit Union. Enrollment in this program automatically rounds up the amount of all debit card and share draft purchases made from your checking account to the next whole dollar and deposits into the Easy Saver savings account. Not only will this account help you save, but it also earns 2.01% APY monthly. Special terms and conditions apply. Come in today and open your Easy Saver account at the United Northwest Federal Credit Union, where everything we do for you. NCUA insured.
KIN Sports, I'm Spencer Dupuy. In the 2024 season, the Chiefs were an amazing 11-0 in one-score games, meaning the difference in the game was a touchdown or less. But in 2025, so far, they are 0-3, including losing to the Jaguars on Monday Night Football. Patrick Mahomes met with the media on Wednesday, and he discussed just that.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, pretty much execution, just little things here and there. We're just not making winning football plays in certain moments. And if it goes down to the interception in the red zone that I throw, I mean, that's a 14-point swing. And so I feel like we've played better these last few weeks, but in this league it's going to come down to one score games. That's what Coach Reed preaches right when we start off training camp every single year, and it's about who executes at a higher level, and we haven't done that as a team throughout these first five six weeks.
The Chiefs look to bounce back against the Lions this Sunday on Sunday Night Football. Kansas Information Network Sports, I'm Spencer Dupuy.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
It's true, many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs deserve more attention, I agree, and I'd like to help. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Philip Eisenhagen. Together we can give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by our office at 418 East Holm here in Norton or call 877-3373. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.